live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 10th day of December 2025. I'm thrilled to have both a returning guest and a first-time co-host with me today on the program. First of all, we have for the third time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mykola Lelievsky, who is professor of biblical theology and hermeneutics at Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary, pastor of Lviv Central Baptist Church in Lviv, Ukraine, and founder and director of Journey Christian Publishing. Today he will be addressing updates from a Ukrainian Christian on advancements in the spread of the gospel in that war-torn country. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mykola Lelievsky.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you again.
And I understand that congratulations are in order because of the birth of your son. And that took place, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, on November 29th. And if you could please tell us the name of this little boy.
Yes, that is correct. He goes by AJ, which stands for Arthur Jack.
And nothing exotic about that at all, but a great name. And you've got to tell my listeners why you named him specifically Jack. Why was that in his name?
I mentioned earlier that it was after Jack Bauer, but all the cool American action heroes are named Jack. Jack Bauer, Jack Ryan, Jack Reacher. You name it.
Well, we are all praising God here in the States who know you, that you are still with us after what's going on in Ukraine as far as the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And we'll be picking up on that later on during the main part of our program. But first of all, let our listeners know something about Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, I don't know if that's the same seminary where you were previously teaching under a different name or if it's an entirely different school.
It's a different school. So a lot has gone on in the almost 3 years since we last spoke on the show. I've moved town. I've gotten married. And as you've mentioned, our child was born. And before I used to serve the Lord at Grace Bible Seminary in Kyiv, Ukraine. But since I've moved, it's a different school. It's with the biggest conservative evangelical denomination in Ukraine, the Baptist denomination here. So served there as a professor and a dean of graduate and online studies. So it's a blessing to serve the Lord with my gifts and to impact the lives of students.
Amen. Now tell us something about the church where you are now pastoring, Lviv Central Baptist Church.
Yes. So as we moved into this town, I really wasn't familiar with many churches here, but this church is close by to our place, and they welcomed us with open arms and been able to build good relationships with the people there. And actually, they asked me to join the pastoral team not too long ago. So blessing to be a part of what God is doing there as well.
Oh, praise God. And last but not least, tell us about Journey Christian Publishing.
Yes. So that is also something that was started after we've talked last time. So because of the war, there's been a shift in Ukraine from Russian language resources and books towards the Ukrainian language. And there was some encouragement with from some friends and actually your listeners that I got to meet after we've talked last.
Wow.
Decided to start a publishing house and like a media resource ministry to flood the market, so to speak, with good, God-honoring, solid, reformed literature and resources.
Well, praise God. Now, are these primarily reprints of older works from history that are being republished in Ukraine or the Ukrainian language, or are they new works by you and other contemporary authors, or a combination?
I guess you would say a combination. We're trying to do books that have not been published previously in Ukrainian language or in Russian language, for that matter, because even though Russian language is not popular, I mean, people still understand it and would use it if they would find it useful. So we strive to provide a new wave of resources, introduce them to new theologians, new pastors, new authors, but some old ones as well. So it's a good mix, I think.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to our discussion today. I'm also thrilled to introduce to my audience a first-time co-host with me. His name is Ron Jones. I met Ron months ago. Perhaps he can even be more precise on exactly when we met. It might have been over a year ago at the local Christian Businessmen's Connection Wednesday gatherings at Faye's Country Kitchen here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I really began to quickly like this brother and admire him and respect him. And I thought it would be perfect for him to be a co-host today, especially since he has experience as a missionary in Ukraine. Ron Jones is an American businessman and missionary to Ukraine, where he moved with his wife and children in 2018 and established Business Lab Ukraine, but evacuated with his family in 2022, just 3 weeks before the full-scale invasion by Russia, began. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ron Jones.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been looking forward to joining you today. And yeah, we've known each other now for probably a little more than a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, but good to have just good Christian brothers and fellowship that we do on Wednesdays. And when you told me about Mikola joining you on this podcast, my ears perked up because I love Ukraine. I love our brothers and sisters there. And so I'm happy to join you today and happy to serve as your helper and co-host.
And we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest or co-host, in your case, we have that guest or co-host give a summary of their salvation testimony. And that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear a summary of your story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I am a blessed man that God has always been near and dear to my heart. I was born and raised here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, born into a Christian family, and was raised
all my life in a loving Christian home. And so God really kept me from a lot of dangers, a lot of bad roads that I could have went down. But his preserving hand was just guiding me along the way. I will say, you know, at some point, I think around 13 years old, I remember one Sunday night at church, the pastor making that call. And I really became to recognize the fact of that I'm a great sinner and I need a savior. And so I made that dedication at 13. And of course, through life and as I've grown up through the years, there's been different challenges. And I really began to recognize, really in my college years, in my early 20s, a point at which no longer could my beliefs be based just upon what my parents thought or what they taught me. But I had to know that I know that I know what I believe and why I believe it. And it was so during those college years, and God really took me through some journeys of deep investigation in scripture and different things to really understand fully the salvation that he gave me. So, yeah, it's been great, a great blessing, a great heritage to have that God has kept me, and he has blessed my family and blessed all of our journey since then. And so I can do nothing but give him praise.
Amen. Now, why among all the countries and nations on the planet Earth did you have a burden on your heart for Ukraine that led you to the mission field there back in 2018?
Well, you know, shortly after turning 13 years old, I remember praying in our church. It was in the 80s. And we would have missionaries come and we'd hear stories of the communist Soviet Union and how they persecuted Christians. And I remember my church praying, "Dear God, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll serve you, but please do not send me to the USSR. They're killing Christians there. Whatever you do, don't send me there." Of course, you know, you're not supposed to pray a message like, you're not supposed to make a request like that, because God always has his way in the end. And I guess it was what really sparked my interest was in 1991, when I was in college, I was able to take a trip to the former USSR, literally 6 months before the Soviet Union collapsed. So it was in the summer of 91, and we were in mostly just Russia at that point, but it was just a part of the USSR at that time. And I fell in love with the Slavic culture and the Slavic people. And little did I know, but that journey, that trip in 91 kind of set a trajectory for my life to always have a heart and a love for those people. And so there's a lot of years between there, but up until the point then in 2018, where we actually had the opportunity to go and serve there full time. I did make several trips to Ukraine, starting around 2005 or 2006. As God opened doors, we would go over there and serve on short-term basis. And then eventually in 2018, we made the full-time commitment.
And you launched a business while there to use as a vehicle to evangelize the Ukrainian people in addition to serving them with a business.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much a business, but it was a marketplace ministry. We called it Business Lab Ukraina, Business Lab Ukraine. And it was to, our main vision and mission was to help business people become better Christians and to develop Christians into godly business people. So we work from both ends. Those that are existing in the business world, we minister to them to bring the light of the gospel. And those that were mostly the youth of the church that were passionate about doing something entrepreneurial, to teach them how to do business, how to run companies, but according to biblical principles.
Now, tell us about this new ministry that you are currently working with, Bible to School.
Yes, God has opened the door since coming back in 2022. It was a difficult transition to leave the country that I love. And so for a year or two, we served as providing a lot of relief and support to ministries inside Ukraine. So we raised a lot of funds over here. But this year, I accepted a position and I began working at an organization called Bible to School. And our vision and what we do is we teach the Bible to public school students during the school day, which kind of surprises a lot of people, because if you know the American culture, we think that that's not even possible to talk about religious things during the day. But there's a pathway that we found to that, and we use something called fellow release time, and we are able to get the children released to us for an hour a week. And so we hold these Bible classes across the nation. We're in four different states right now. We have over 3,000 students that are enrolled in our classes, and God has been blessing, and we're growing, and we're wanting to serve more and more kids to teach the public school students the Bible, but during the school day.
Now, I believe that the parents must be giving their consent to this. How do they know how to connect a Bible to School to get their own children involved in this?
Right. So what we typically, we will have a member that comes to us and says, hey, I want to bring this Bible to School program to my school, to my school district. And we work alongside them and help them develop their team of volunteers to be able to host the Bible to School classes at their own schools. The caveat that we're able to do this through the federal release time is we have to do off-school sites. So we have to take the children to a neighboring church or a community center. We have to, of course, not use any tax funds. We don't use any tax money. And third, we have to get parental permission. And but here's the neatest thing, Chris, that I love about this ministry. Of the 3,000 plus students that are coming to us, 52% are unchurched. They don't go to church on Sunday.
Wow.
They are not taught the Bible in their homes. Yet these parents, they're like, hey, we know that we need to get spiritual impact into our kids. And they allow us to give their permission. We take their kids. And it's a great unreached mission field for us here, to get these children who are not going to Sunday school, who are not hearing the Bible, but we get to do it during the school day. So God's led me to Bible to School. I'm loving what I'm doing, and we'd love to see more and more people involved with it.
Well, if anybody listening wants to learn more about Bible to School, go to Bible2School.com. That's Bible2School.com, and God willing, we'll be repeating that towards the end of the program. Well, Mykola, as you have said, it's been 3 years since you have been on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I was wondering if you could not only remind us about some things that have already occurred that we discussed during our last two interviews, but also, obviously, we want some updates. And so perhaps you could bring us back to right prior to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and tell us something about how Russians and Ukrainians were getting along. In fact, our mutual friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, I know, was going to both Russia and Ukraine teaching, and there were students who were Russian, I believe, even in Ukraine, sitting at the feet of Dr. White's teaching. But you pick it up where we left off, then bring it to the point of the invasion and bring us forward to our current present day.
Yeah, so I've mentioned previously that there was a time where Ukrainian and Russian got along just fine, basically referred to each other as brotherly nations. You could travel to Russia from Ukraine or from Russia to Ukraine without an international passport. So I've taken advantage of that and traveled to Russia several times to be involved in ministry there. And we did have plenty of students from neighboring regions of Russia in Ukraine at our schools. And overall, I think it just seemed like the situation was pretty stable, and we are enjoying relative peace, and things were just getting better after the collapse of the Soviet Union, which brought the Great Depression into the former Soviet Union states. But slow recovery, of course, not without problems, but it led to a pretty stable, peaceful coexistence. But then, you know, the events of political events like the revolution or in Ukraine, where the people did not support the president who changed the, there was a referendum and the people wanted to kind of move towards the European Union and pursue more of Western values, but apparently he was very pro-Russian, and so there's a lot of demonstrations and things like that. And Vladimir Putin took advantage of that in 2014, 2015, and annexed Crimea and began a kind of guerrilla warfare in the eastern part of Ukraine with two cities, two areas proclaiming independence from Ukraine. And then that kind of, I don't know, there was a red flag, but apparently Ukrainians didn't take it very seriously. And 10 years later, you know, it was a full-scale invasion. I think I mentioned last time that there were rumors of it because, you know, they were amassing troops on the border of Ukraine. And for many, it was just really hard to believe that that was going to happen because that made absolutely no sense for anyone. Anything that Vladimir Putin has said since makes also no sense. For what his purpose is, what his goal is. He claimed that he's trying to denazify Ukraine and protect the rights of the Russian-speaking citizens here. But the sad part is that, you know, the eastern part of Ukraine, the southern part of Ukraine, has generally been very warm towards Russia and very friendly. And those are the areas that have seen just tremendous devastation. And many, many great cities have been flattened, you know, and just people have suffered so much. And those were the people who if anything, would be kind of encouraging Ukraine to have an amicable, peaceful relationship, coexistence with Russia.
Now, why did that occur there then?
Well, because those are the neighboring territories. And so, in my opinion, this is just my opinion and speculation, Vladimir Putin was gravely misled or just fooled by his intelligence officers or whoever his advisors were. And it basically seems like they told him that if you invade Ukraine right now, they will let you waltz right into Kiev and welcome you as a liberator, and a new regime under Russia would be supported by most people, just like it was in Crimea, because he took Crimea without firing a shot. Of course, you know, they had to create a phony referendum and pretend like, you know, that was the will of the people. But at least at that point, there was no, Ukraine didn't really resist, and he kind of took it very quickly and without much resistance. And so I think that was his idea, to just do this blitzkrieg attack and seize control of the capital. But as it turned out, you know, that definitely wasn't what they were able to accomplish. And Ukraine was able to withstand the initial attack. And now this war has been going on for years with absolutely no foreseeable off-ramp in the future. At this point, there's really not a clear path to peace. And so, unfortunately, you know, in this time that the war has been going on, there's been 10 million people leaving Ukraine, hundreds of thousands of people dying, soldiers fighting each other. There's civilian deaths every day because of the attacks with drones and missile strikes. And so it's just a really, really sad situation. It really shows kind of the ugliness of sin and the worst manifestation of war and people hating each other for absolutely no reason and fighting with each other. And so until Putin's imperialistic desires are satisfied, I guess we're going to have to put up with what's going on.
Now, I know that you are not a mind reader, and only Christ truly knows the hearts and minds of men. But is there any kind of sense that you have been able to get whether the Russian people are really reluctantly doing this because they have to? Or when you said that there's hatred, a mutual hatred towards each other over nothing, how much of that is based in really genuinely believed ideology and so on?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think that I'm qualified to speak authoritatively on it. I mean, I hear that there are surveys done in Russia about from just the population whether they're in support of war, and we hear numbers of upwards of 70% that they are supporting this war. But at the same time, I know that the propaganda machine has been just brainwashing people's minds, just like in Soviet times, for the past 15 or 20 years. I mean, if you think of it, there are people in Russia who are about 25 years old who haven't known anyone else in power but Vladimir Putin. Since he's come to power in 1999, he's been the sole, you know, ruler of Russia. And, you know, just his authoritarian tendencies have been getting worse and worse and worse. 10 years ago or so, he passed these laws prohibiting evangelical Christians of evangelizing people on the streets or inviting people to church without a permit from the government. And it's just been kind of initially, you know, in the late 2000s, he's kind of been posing as a figure who wants to bring Russia into the West. And he was open-minded and, you know, kind of progressive. But now he's just looks like an old school KGB, you know, style dictator.
Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just curious, have things just progressively increased in the hostilities and the violence? Or has there been a lull, that kind of a thing?
So when everything happened, you know, I think people were just still recovering from initial shock. And I remember I've seen footage where Russian soldiers and tanks and armored transport are going down Ukrainian roads and they get lost, and Ukrainian citizens are joking around like, oh, you know, do you need me to help you find your way? And so Ukrainian people were not prepared to just, you know, answer with hatred what was going on, because they just couldn't believe that. It just didn't make sense, honestly. Like, for Russia to come into Ukraine and start a war, it just didn't make any sense, because what was the goals? Okay, so he's going to occupy entire Ukraine, the largest country, you know, in continental Europe. And what is he going to do with the 40 million population? And so it didn't make sense. And so people were just kind of trying to use humor to I guess, deal with it. But then as the attacks increased and just the brutality of the war really was on full display, with just all the atrocities perpetrated by the military and attacks on, you know, civilian objects, whether intentional or unintentional, still caused tremendous damage, you know, to hospitals and schools and other things like that. So now a typical Ukrainian, you know, is not a good Ukrainian unless he hates Putin and prays every night for, you know, for him to die. And so it pretty much goes for just the average Russian, you know, has become kind of, when I was a child, you know, I was still from that generation that remembered World War II. And so we had this kind of common collective enemy in our minds, which was the Nazis, you know, that have occupied Ukraine for over 3 years and sent many people to, you know, concentration camps and things like that. And so now I think in our collective memory for many, many years, you know, unfortunately, I believe it is very unfortunate that, you know, the Russian people will be this vicious enemy that was kind of the epitome of evil that, you know, brought so much suffering and pain to our land.
Now, before we go to our first commercial break, I wanted to know, have you lost any close friends, loved ones, family members?
I personally did not lose anyone who is related to me or who I've known very well, but there are, you know, students that I've known who have passed away, and there's 6 men serving from our church right now, our local church in the military. God has preserved their lives up to this point, but my fellow pastors in other churches have lost members, and people in their families have also lost members.
Okay, when we return, we're going to have Ron Jones, my co-host, chime in with his own questions. And by the way, Ron, you can feel free at any point during our interview to chime in with a question. You don't have to wait for me to announce that you're going to ask a question. But we'll have you begin with questions when we return from our first commercial break. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, your country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mykola Lolyovsky and an update on the spread of the gospel in Ukraine, in that war-torn country, right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Truck and Zion Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and our guest today is Mykola Lelievsky, a Reformed Baptist pastor in Ukraine, and he's giving us updates on the spread of the gospel in Ukraine amidst the suffering at the hands of the invading Russians. And we would love to hear from you and what you have to ask at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Ron Jones, my co-host, if you'd like to ask Mykola some questions.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Mykola, I really appreciate what you had to say, and it echoes some of the similar feelings that we had living there. I remember, and I'll just share for instance or two with you, when we were ordered to evacuate by our missions organization, I remember driving across the city, across the Kyiv, as we were heading to the airport to evacuate. And my wife just looked at me and she's like, there's just no way that Russia's coming. That life would had been continuing on. Just like you said, Mykola, Ukrainians never really thought that Russia was going to invade. They just said, hey, you know, Russia's always been, we call it saber rattling, has always been kind of just throwing threats, and this is just nothing new. Yet, obviously, shortly after we left, it became real. And one other observation, and I just share this with our listeners, because I think it's interesting in how today's technology and instant communication and news affects. I remember literally arriving back here in Pennsylvania, and once the invasion began, I had three children that we lived with that lived with us here in Kyiv. They had many friends, and I remember, you know, they continued to maintain connection with all their Ukrainian friends. And we were driving across town. In fact, I hate to say it, but we were at the drive-thru at the fast food restaurant, and my daughter is FaceTiming, my 12-year-old daughter is FaceTiming her friend in Kyiv. And all of a sudden I heard her friend come on. She's like, oh, wait. Okay, I gotta go because the sirens just went off, and we've got to go turn off all the lights, and we got to go hide in the bathtub. And the reality of that moment has stuck in my mind. Just the tragedy that has all of a sudden just beset my brothers and sisters in Ukraine. It was just devastating. And even for my young children to be able to process that as they, unfortunately, we all saw the pictures and witnessed all of the atrocities that we've seen over the years. It's been terrible. But Mykola, you had said something that was really interesting, and I would like to get your thought on it.
Because this is some of the things I'm hearing from my contacts within the Ukraine. The evangelical community, although it is, I guess we call Ukraine the Bible Belt, it's still not very large in Ukraine. And that evangelical community always seemed to have good relationships with the evangelical communities inside Russia. And there was some back and forth of both the Bible school students and professors and that type of interaction. However, I have heard, and maybe you can speak to this, I've heard that obviously since the war, that's kind of now kind of all broken down, and there's really been a separation between the two evangelical churches. Do you see that, or have you observed that?
Yeah, there definitely has been a separation, whereas before it was very, very closely tied, and there was many, many Ukrainian missionaries serving in Russia. The Christian population of Russia is very small. You refer to Ukraine as the Bible Belt, and I've heard that there was, before the war started, there were more evangelical Christians in Ukraine and Romania together than in Europe and Russia together.
Wow.
And so right now we have 4% evangelical Christians in Ukraine. That's from about 30 million population. So the community is small, but it has grown. Last time there was like a census 10 years ago, the percentage was only 2% evangelical. So I'm not sure how solid all the 4% are, but even though before the break we talked about a lot of devastation and hurt brought on by this war, there has been a lot. God has been doing a lot. Wonderful testimonies of people coming to the Lord, searching for Christ as their hope and comfort amidst immense tragedy. You know, God is still on his throne, and he uses all of these things for his own glory and for the good of those who love him. So that is very encouraging to see.
And the evangelical church there in Ukraine has really played a very large role in providing relief and support to, even though it's, like you said, 4%, from what my understanding is, and maybe you can tell me, but they are providing a lot of the humanitarian support to those communities that were suffering.
Yeah, the church, I feel like the church has really been united in its response to serve the communities. Our local church here in Lviv, Lviv is kind of the last city in Ukraine before you cross the border. And so there's a flood of millions of people that went through, and you know, there's thousands and thousands of people living at the church in the first days of the war. And the church responded very well with providing meals and accommodations. But since then, we have many ministries in the community to internally displaced people from the East who have moved here. My wife and I are involved in a children's club that we do every other Saturday for children from, underprivileged families, broken homes, and people who are living. The Ukrainian government has built this modular neighborhood, basically container homes for people from the East. And so we either go there or have them come to the church. And the women have a special program, and the children have a special program. We have a ministry to widows and mothers who have lost their husbands and sons fighting in the war. There's a big, big famous cemetery not too far away from where we live in Lviv. And it's constantly expanding because we'll have a special area honoring the soldiers who are fighting in this war. And it basically doubled in size, not quadrupled, since the war started. Oh. And we have ladies from our church going to the cemetery and, crying with the people there who are mourning their lost ones and loved ones. And they're hearing their stories, and they're offering hope that is in Christ. Some of those people, some of those women have come to the church. And so it requires a tremendous, tremendous amount of the gift of mercy and compassion
Because I cannot imagine. I've been in some of those situations where, you know, you're with the family that's grieving and you're trying to, you know, provide some kind of relief, maybe just, you know, physical or material. But at the same time, you know, you want to point them to Christ. And the temptation is, of course, to say, oh, you know, don't worry, you know, you'll be in heaven with your father or your husband. But, you know, we know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And so you don't want to give that false hope. You don't want to dishonor the gospel in that way. Of course, you know, trying to comfort the person, but it is a very uncomfortable situation, and I understand why so many people have that temptation. But we have some just wonderful people in our church who share the gospel without compromise, but also love and cry and surround them with just the kindness and the goodness of the Lord.
Well, we do have a very timely question that is a perfect segue to what you were just talking about. We have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. With so many lives lost during the course of the conflict, do you find that the church is playing a substantial role in God-centered grief counseling?
And so, like I said, the church, I feel like there are challenges, of course. I feel like many things have... A crisis always reveals the weak spots. And so the church in Ukraine is not flawless and perfect, but I do feel like it has taken the opportunity to use what's going on to share the gospel and to point people to the hope and comfort that only Christ can bring. Of course, you know, there's many different views on counseling in the church of Ukraine. There's, you know, the full-on Christian psychology. There's some integrational ministries. And there's also just, you know, biblical counseling approaches. But, you know, there's been a lot of books translated. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. So I feel like there's a huge interest in, you know, trauma, grief, crisis counseling. There's seminars happening all the time. We've hosted a bunch of seminars ourselves with different you know, pastors, theologians, medical professionals. But at the same time, I still, you know, for me personally, when I go out and I see a young man without a leg or without an arm walking, you know, either with his family or by himself, I just, you know, it's very hard to bring yourself to even come alongside him, because in my mind I'm like, well, why is, you know, it should be me, you know? I mean, he's looking at me, and I'm a young, healthy man, and, you know, he's lost his health. And in Ukraine, you know, disability and all of that is not like it is in the States. So it's a very dire situation. But at the same time, in our church, we do have a group of men who have a ministry in the rehabilitation center here in Lviv, and they go and visit those men weekly. We have a ministry that even goes to the prisons where the Russian soldiers, the prisoners of war, kept, and the gospel is preached there.
Praise God.
So, you know, amen, amen. And it's just amazing to see, you know, how God has gifted and empowered his people to respond in ways that, you know, could only be explained by Spirit empowering. And so I would say the church is doing its best, not always perfectly, but doing its best to provide, to point people to God, to point people to a personal relationship with him.
Okay, we've got Franco in Madrid, New Mexico. Franco asks, have you or any of your colleagues in ministry in Ukraine remained in contact with Russian Christians that you knew who were being educated by the same schools you were mentioning earlier?
So I might get in trouble for saying this. because many of my friends just are so put off by what's happening in Russia and how the church there, if not some denominations in the evangelical church, are supporting the war, promoting the war. Other denominations, I guess, are just staying silent. And so, me personally, I found out about this war from a brother in Russia, from a dear friend who called me at 6 a.m. and he said, "Is it true?" And I was like, "Is what true?" You know, it's 6 a.m. He goes, "Our president just addressed the nation live on TV." And, you know, Russia is ahead. You know, they're a couple of hours ahead in time zones. And so he said, "Is it true? Are there bombings and are there rockets flying into Ukraine right now?" And I kind of stopped talking to him and I opened my window and I heard sirens and explosions. And so I found out that the war started from a friend in Russia. And my friends there have been praying for us regularly. They've been supporting us in any way that they can. And in my opinion, there's still many solid, biblical, faithful Christians in Russia who are appalled and you know, just in, full of indignation about what's going on. But honestly, I don't really see anything that they can do. I know that some people in Ukraine want them to march down Red Square and bang, you know, break down the doors of the Kremlin and demand for Putin to end this war. But honestly, if the situation was reversed, I'm not sure what the Ukrainian Christians would do in that situation.
Okay, we've got Althea in the Bronx, New York. And Althea asks, "I have heard on American television that Ukraine has outlawed or to some level persecuted certain branches of Eastern Orthodoxy. Is this true? Now, I do not recognize the Eastern Orthodox Church as genuine Christianity, but I still believe in the human right to believe in any religion one chooses to."
Yeah, that's a great question. And unfortunately, there have been so much confusion in the American media about what's going on over here. And it's really sad that things in America has been so politicized and so polarized that it was just sad to see that it seemed like whatever that Democrats say, the Republicans have to say the opposite or vice versa. And this whole situation with the war in Ukraine is a prime example of that. But in regards to the question about the Orthodox Church, so to give you just a little bit of context, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Ukraine became an independent state and created its own independent Ukrainian Orthodox Church. But the majority of people still remained loyal to the Eastern Orthodox Church of the Moscow Patriarchate. And so I'm not sure how well-versed you are in how the Orthodox churches are run.
Not at all. Other than the guests I've had who are experts on it, but I don't remember everything they said.
Yeah, so it's a little different from the Roman Catholic Church, you know, which is more centralized. The Eastern Orthodox churches kind of have their own independent churches, you know, all over the world, but the largest one was in Russia. And so almost a third of the Russian Orthodox churches were in Ukraine. But as Putin consolidated power over Russia, he turned the Orthodox Church into another branch of government. And so it was very, very clear when the war started that the Orthodox Church of the Moscow Patriarchate was being used against Ukraine. And so for purposes of security, not religious intolerance or any other purposes, the Ukrainian government has prohibited the activities of the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine, because I think to anyone who is an impartial observer of what's been going on with the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia in the last 15 or 20 years, they could say that it's not a
religious organization. It's more of a political organization.
Yeah.
And before that, in 2018, Ukraine actually received a permission from, in the Orthodox community, he is referred to as the Patriarch of the Universe, who was in Constantinople, or in Greece.
So he stole my title then. I'm only kidding.
Yeah. So the Patriarch of the Universe has given the Ukrainian church official recognition, and yeah. There was a united Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And so there's a lot of, you know, politics with the traditional big religions and things like that. But I do agree that the Orthodox Church in Ukraine, whether the Russian Orthodox Church or the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, does not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, when you said
that doesn't mean. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you can continue.
I was going to add this one caveat that it doesn't mean that there are no born again people in the Orthodox Church, because I believe, you know, if there's a Bible there, there's a chance that they will hear sin and Christ and those things. But that would be despite what the church preaches and promotes, not because of it.
Now, when you said earlier, and I can't remember the exact phrasing you used, but you said that the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine has been prohibited from taking part in their activities or something like that. What exactly do you mean by that?
So, basically, they were disillusioned. Is that the right word? They're disbanded. They no longer can function.
Oh, they can't even gather for worshiping?
Yes.
Hmm.
But that's just to clarify.
This is Ron Jones, by the way, folks.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated for Americans and Westerners to kind of figure this out. And Nicola, you're right. It mixes a lot of politics things. The Orthodox Church is alive and functioning in Ukraine. But it is functioning under the Ukrainian Orthodox umbrella. And Mykola, correct me if I'm wrong, which was established in 2019. So, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but up until 2019, most of the Orthodox Church in Ukraine was the Russian Patriarchy. When Ukraine was then introduced, a lot of them then started to switch their allegiance to the Ukrainian Patriarchy, which would be obvious because it is in Ukraine. And so the Orthodox Church still functions, but it's that politicized part of it, the Russian Orthodox, which is what has been limited.
Is he correct in
that? Yes, that is correct. So just to illustrate, imagine that, you know, the United States is at war with Great Britain, and, you know, the Anglican Church is in the United States, and the head of the Anglican Church is, you know, the King of England, and the church has to serve the interests of the king. And, you know, that goes against the country trying to survive this onslaught. And so because basically the reason why is, you know, they were seeing our intelligence services have provided evidence and demonstrated clear evidence that the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine was undermining the defensive effort. They were spying. They were just aiding and abetting all the, you know, infiltrations and activities going on in Ukraine. And the Russian Orthodox Church has been persecuting evangelical Christians in annexed and occupied territories. And so it's just for the sake of security and for the sake of common sense, the activities of this foreign, you know, adversarial entity were stopped. But like Ron said, Ukraine still is a majority Orthodox country, and the Orthodox faith is not prohibited. And all the Orthodox churches that existed under the Russian Patriarchy are still
open and existing under now the Ukrainian patriarchy, and you know, the theology is not different. The politics is very different.
And so have most of the parishioners of the Russian Orthodox Church, who in essence have become homeless, have they now begun attending the Ukrainian Orthodox Church?
Yes. And according to the polls, they did a poll like a year into the war, which institution has lost the most respect in the eyes of the nation? And it has been the Orthodox Church. Because even the parishioners attending the Russian Orthodox churches, they recognized that, you know, the church that they were attending was a political organization, if not a military criminal organization that was perpetrating crimes against the country.
Okay, we have to go to our Ron. We could pick up where we left off, and I'll remember to go directly to you. We have to go to our midway break. And once again, if anybody has a question of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We do have some folks waiting for their questions to be asked and answered, and we will get to as many of you as we can. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And folks, Christmas is going to be here before you know it. Why not bless someone you love with a stunning, head-turning, mind-blowing piece of jewelry, while at the same time blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a Christmas gift? Because every time you purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry, simply by you mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. So whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created and designed, whatever the case may be, whether you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind, if you're having a customized piece of jewelry, you might want to have someone whom you love taking their church or parachurch ministry logo or their business logo and turning it into a pendant or a ring or other piece of jewelry. Just a suggestion. But anyway, no matter what the case is, whenever you buy jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. Go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests, Mykola Lelievski and Ron Jones, and our discussion giving you updates on the spread of the gospel in Ukraine amidst the violence and death and misery in that war-torn country. We do have some important reminders for you. If you love this show, folks, you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch, ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love for you to launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations, especially since we lost two of our largest financial supporters not long ago, including a Christian bookstore that was in business for over 50 years that had to permanently close their doors almost 2 months ago, and we lost that enormous source of income from them. So please help us replace and replenish that lost income, and either donate or advertise. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Or if you would like to advertise, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, I never want anybody giving your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Please never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want it to go away. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience spanning the entire globe find churches, sometimes even that are only a couple of minutes from where they live, that are biblically faithful. So if you're without a church home that's biblically faithful, let me know. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question for Mykola Lelievski as we continue our conversation on Ukraine. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Now, Ron Jones, you had a question for our guest, Mykola.
Well, actually, just a follow up from the viewer, the email that you received. The question that was asked to Mykola was about the Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church being kind of restricted. I have seen so many different, maybe call them conspiracies or alerts about things going on in Ukraine that just we hear in the West that simply just aren't true. You know, and I would say just to caution our folks here in the States, always be careful the news you hear, because there's always variations on that. I mean, I remember getting back from Ukraine and the big story was, well, you know, this Russia is coming in because there's such a big Nazification. There's Nazis all throughout Ukraine. I've lived and breathed there for many, many years in Ukraine. I never met one Nazi. So there's always these conspiracies that people want to create, and just always search out the truth on that. That would be my encouragement.
Wasn't there, though, Mykola, some kind of an element, even if it's rather small, just like it is in the United States, of some neo-Nazi groups in Ukraine that might have even been fighting in the war against the Russians?
Well, there is a far-right group, I guess. I'm not sure how Nazi they are, but they are a far-right group called Azov. And far-right are usually kind of very patriotic and nationalistic, so they've been heavily involved in the fighting. But to hear that Ukraine in general, I would say, tends to be very liberal because of the influence of the United States. The culture is still like very traditional and community oriented and kind of family values, but at the same time, the rates of divorce and abortions are just off the charts. But in terms of religious freedom, in terms of just general politics, it's nothing. Nothing out of the ordinary, I would say. And not anything like the Russian propaganda is putting out there, and unfortunately, Tucker Carlson.
Yes, I love Tucker Carlson in many ways, but I do know that he has been off base on a number of things. We have a listener. Let's see, I was just looking at the question. We have Latrice in Cabot, Arkansas. Latrice asks, how may we benefit from and gain access to the publishing ministry you mentioned earlier if we have friends and family members and neighbors who are Ukrainian and we want to give them Christian literature in that language?
So the best way to do it would be to go to the website, www.podorozh, Podorozh, which is the Ukrainian word for journey, .org. Or I guess you can write me on Facebook. The good thing is that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can you just repeat the letters in that website again?
Yes, it's podorozh.org.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I'm easy to find if you just type my name, Mykola Lelyovsky, in Google. I'm the only person in the world with that name, so.
Really?
I'm not hard to find. I am, yes.
Wow. That's something.
Wow, we got a once in the world person on our podcast today. That's incredible.
You know, I have a very rare name, Christopher Arnson. And so one day, from time to time, I Google my own name to see who else has my name. And to my horror once, I think I Googled it on or typed my name into the search engine on YouTube. And I hear an announcer saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the anti-God communist organization, Christopher Arndt." And I can't even remember if that's the exact name of the group. But not only was the guy a communist, he was a homosexual. And I thank God that he looked nothing like me and sounded nothing like me. That was quite a...
If you Google my name, you won't find me until page 53 or 60. It's one way down the list.
Oh, yeah, of course. Ron Jones. It's got to be...
I always felt bad for our friend Phil Johnson. Will Johnson.
Yep. That's right. So Phil knows you.
Yeah. Phil has been to Ukraine many times, and we've had a very good friendship.
I want to make sure, before I forget to ask you this later, how you would like our Christian listeners to respond. We do have listeners all over the world. We might even have some Ukraine other than you. In fact, by the way, Braun doesn't know this. The first time I became aware of Mykola's existence was someone said to me, "Did you know that some guy in Ukraine has posted your parody song about Martin Luther, the great reformer, on YouTube? His name is Mykola." And I looked it up, and it was Mykola Leliowski. And I'm like wondering, who is this guy in Ukraine? And you haven't even heard this song yet. I've got to share it with you after the show, Ron. But
great.
But I can't even remember how long it was after that. I think it was even over a year after that I find out who you are. But anyway, going back to my question, how would you like our listeners all over the world who are Christians to respond to the information you are giving them now? And not only, obviously, prayer, but what other ways can our listeners help?
Yeah, so going back to what you mentioned, that was a great song. And I found out about you from Dr. James White when we became friends. He talked about you a lot, and you've moderated some of his debates, and I believe that you're the best moderator that he's ever had.
Oh, thanks, man. That means a lot.
And so you know, at that time, I started listening to Iron Sharpens Iron as well, and found it very helpful.
Praise God.
Yes, a great show. And so it was an honor and a privilege to be on the air when you asked me to. And because of that, some people contacted me and expressed support and asked for ways to help. And some people just went ahead and, you know, sent money and were very, very generous. And, you know, we were able to use it for many different purposes, because there's been so many needs and so many people suffering and hurting, and so many great opportunities, for the gospel. So if anyone out there listening would like to send a designated gift for whatever purpose that they feel, you know, the some of the ministries that I mentioned, you know, of our local church, dealing with orphans, dealing with widows, dealing with wounded soldiers, dealing with just all kinds of people hurting in this world, for us to perhaps give them a Christmas gift and invite them to church and share the gospel and just start a relationship. You know, we can definitely do that, and that would be much appreciated. If there's something else, if you're interested in some other ministry, or you want to get connected, I would be happy to do that. Our seminary, you know, has over 1,500 students right now, and you know, they're actively involved in serving the Lord all over Ukraine, and even in Poland and countries around Ukraine as well. So I would be happy to serve in that way.
I'd like you to tell me and our listeners some things about Ukraine that might surprise us?
Ukraine is a great place, you know. So my wife, she's a Korean American, and she married and moved here after the war began, almost 5 months into the war. And when she moved here to marry me, people thought she was crazy. Her parents still say that in the Korean community back in LA, where they're from, they consider them to be bad parents because they sent their daughter to a war-torn country. But basically, the response to my wife was kind of divided into two groups. Some people thought she was absolutely crazy to come here, and other people were absolutely blown away by this romantic story that she told them about falling in love with a Ukrainian guy and leaving California to come and live in Ukraine. But she absolutely loves it here. She says she's never going back. And by God's grace, we were able to come and visit in September. And, you know, her family, and she hasn't seen them for a couple of years. So we came for a couple of weeks to visit. And after a week there, she said, wow, I really miss home, you know, and home for her is Ukraine now. And to be quite honest, I told her, and I wish we would stay here for a couple of weeks more, because California is great to visit. So Ukraine is a lovely place. If you ever come and visit, you will love the fellowship, you will love the food, you will love the earnestness that the people have for the Lord, and just the heart that they have to share the gospel and to live out their Christian life amidst very difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. So if you want to experience Christianity like it was in the Book of Acts, come to Ukraine. Wow. And see for yourself.
Wow, what a commercial. And let me guess, you became acquainted with your wife through Iron Trip and Zion Radio. By the way, I'm sure I would look. Go ahead, Ron.
Here's a little known fact about Ukraine, and maybe it is more well known now, but we're in the Christmas season. Carol of the Bells is a Ukrainian song. It was written for the Ukrainian New Year.
Wow.
So it's a song about a little bird, but we love it here as a Christmas carol. It's called Carol of the Bell, but they call it, I think it's Nicola, maybe you can remind me, but is it called Shedrick?
Shedrick. It's kind of a diminutive form of a carol song, Christmas song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have you sing a few bars of that, Ron, but I'm afraid of having a nightmarish experience.
No. We don't want to chase people away.
I know that I would love Ukrainian food because I do love Russian food. And in fact, my late wife and I, our favorite restaurant in Manhattan that we would go to on special occasions, and tragically, it no longer exists because of the horrible mandates from the New York City government during the COVID crisis. And our favorite restaurant shut down, but it was called Firebird. And man, oh man, did that place have some extraordinary food and the best borscht I ever had in my life. How would you compare Ukrainian and Russian food? Is it very similar? Is it different in any specific way?
It's very interesting that a lot of Ukrainian food gets mislabeled as Russian food. And, you know, I don't blame people for that, because other than Chernobyl and all these wars, most people never heard of Ukraine. So borscht is a Ukrainian dish, and it is absolutely delicious. So my wife loves Ukrainian food, and that's all she wants to eat.
Mm. And I do love kimchi, a Korean delicacy.
Yes, she does eat kimchi with her Ukrainian food.
Really? At the same time?
Does she like all the debts?
Uh,
So how death is this very gross looking dish for most people. It's basically like fat jello that has a little bit of meat in it.
It's like beef jello.
Yeah. It's only served for New Year's. So people usually don't have it other than that. When my wife saw it for the first time, she was like, what in the world is that? So there are certain food shock situation that, but if you're an adventurous eater, you'll definitely enjoy trying some of the dishes here.
Okay, we're going to our final break, and it should be shorter than the other breaks. And you'll have one more opportunity to send in questions if you have any. And I would advise, if you do have a question, send it immediately, because we are rapidly running out of time. Chris Arnzen at gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And please, folks, never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're ever the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Trip and Zion Radio. This program is also paid for in part by one of our largest sponsors, who just recently renewed their annual advertising contract with us, Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. If you live in Cumming, Georgia, or in the nearby area, have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're traveling through on vacation or for some other reason, look them up. Pay them a visit on the Lord's Day. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And also, don't forget, all men in ministry leadership, my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio biannual free pastor's luncheon will be taking place Thursday, March 5th, 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And it's absolutely free of charge. And not only will you eat for free and enjoy the fellowship of other men in ministry for free and hear the preaching of Dr. Conrad Mbewe, our keynote speaker for the second time, who is pastor of Kubwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. All of that's absolutely free. And on top of it all, you'll be receiving a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So if you'd like to register, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. And keep in mind, on the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th, at 7 p.m., Conrad Mbewe will also be speaking at my church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that event is open to everyone, not just men in ministry leadership. So every man, woman, and child is welcome. If you want to find out more about Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to trbccarlisle.org. trbccarlisle.org. And Mycola, we do have a listener question for you from Harry in Loma Linda, California. And Harry wants to know, what are the greatest threats to evangelical Christianity in Ukraine by cults and false religions?
That's a good question. I think just in general, the greatest threat is immaturity of people in the church, doctrinal immaturity, practical immaturity. I've mentioned that the Baptist church is the largest evangelical denomination, conservative evangelical denomination in Ukraine. Before the war began, there was about 150,000 Baptists in Ukraine, but there's 160,000 Jehovah's Witnesses.
Wow.
There's a very strong, very strong Jehovah's Witness presence. And since Putin banned them in Russia, a lot of them have moved to Ukraine. There's Mormons. There was a Mormon temple in Kiev. There's, you know, anything you can imagine. In Lviv, almost every weekend, we have Krishna worshippers singing Hare Krishna songs in the center of Lviv and things like that. So I would say that, you know, just people really understanding the faith, understanding the authority of the Bible, understanding the sufficiency of the Bible, is a great way to kind of fend yourself from the influence of false teaching. And that is why I think the book ministry, and the media ministry that I mentioned earlier is so important. I, from what I understand, some of these LLM AI models are trained on YouTube videos and other resources that are out there online. So we're trying to put as many solid reformed resources out there in Ukrainian language, so that when people search for things, when people try or ask questions from these AI models, that they would get good answers. And I certainly trained my ChatGPT to be a 5-point Calvinist by now.
Praise God for that. By the way, do you have any additional questions before we run out of time, Ron?
No, it's just a pleasure to hear the great work that you're doing there, and we're so happy that God has kept you and your family safe. So, thank you.
Okay, we have Stephen in Garden City, New York. Stephen asks, you mentioned before about a massive exodus of Ukrainians because of the attacks by Russia. Where are most of those Ukrainians fleeing?
A lot of them are in Europe, all over Europe, but a lot of them are also in the States. But 10 million people have left Ukraine. Quite a lot of people.
Well,
I think we in the U.S. have accepted around 120,000 to 160,000 Ukrainians, I believe is what I remember reading.
Wow. Let's see. We have time for maybe one more question. Let's see. Are your sermons available anywhere on Sermon Audio or YouTube? And are they in English, Ukrainian, or both?
Well, my sermons are available not on Sermon Audio, certainly on YouTube. I also did a podcast for a long time. So if you search my name, you'll definitely find it, because like I said, it's a very unique name. I don't have a lot of stuff in English out there. Most of my stuff is in Russian and Ukrainian.
Okay, and let me make sure. Why don't you? It'll be a lot faster if you spell your last name, since you said you're the only human being alive on the planet Earth with that name, which is fascinating to me. Yes. Because I'm assuming both your first name and your last name are common Ukrainian names.
But no, my last name is a very unique name.
Oh, it is.
People in Ukraine have a hard time. Yeah, it's a Polish descent.
Oh, so
my
okay.
First name was Mykola, Mykola, and my last name is Leliovsky, Mykola Leliovsky. And so you can search for that either in English, or if you transliterate it into Ukrainian or Russian. Also, reading that way.
Yeah, that is interesting, your spelling, because I think you're the first person I ever encountered with both a Y and the I together at the end of your name.
Yeah, so like I said, international names are kind of get jumbled up. So it should be just an I, because it's a Polish name, and you know that all the Polish names just end with ski. But the Ukrainian twist on it is the YI. But yeah, whenever I traveled to the United States and they tried to pronounce my name, it was just funny.
By the way, my mother's side of my family are all from Poland. They immigrated to the United States in the early 1900s. And so I tell folks that I am a Norwegian Pole, both of Norwegian and Polish ancestry. My ancestors were Vikings who raided their own villages.
Well, you know that Lviv used to be part of Poland until 1939. So,
oh wow,
you should come and visit and have some borscht with us over here. Bring Ron as well when this war is over. It'll be a great time. We have to have you guys here.
Well, if you want to look up Mykola on Facebook, you can find him and find out all the information that you need about his publishing ministry, about his church, how to support him. And also, don't forget about the ministry where my co-host Ron Jones serves, Bible to School. That website is Bible2School.com. Bible2School.com. I want to thank you both for being such wonderful additions to Iron Trip and Zion Radio today. And I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.